What say?
Say you take your fresh fruit and you freeze it immediately. Does that stay there?
A little bit, yeah. It does some damage by freezing anything, but you know, it's a lot better than letting it decay. Yeah.
Thank you. What about they call them saints, or these bodies which they call uncorrupted bodies, which are still actually. You can see their physical bodies after being dead for quite a while. What?
Saints that supposedly don't decay?
Yes, like Padre Pio and Santa Teresa and this. Do you hear me? Is it on?
If the entity is fairly advanced and he leaves, he can keep a certain amount of his etheric energy. You can go ahead and hang on that minute.
Yeah.
He can keep a certain amount of his etheric energy in the physical. Now, they did this in ancient Egypt when they would sometimes put a lot of... they had ceremonies where they actually entrapped a certain amount of the etheric energy with the body. And this is a feeling that happened with King Tut's tomb. When they opened that tomb, people associated with the opening of the tomb died mysteriously, and they, because of the curse that was on it. So it can be used as a positive or negative thing, this etheric energy, yeah.
What are the health benefits to ingesting etheric energy or matter?
Well, The closer you can get to the life energy, the more energy you ingest. So they say within 20 minutes after picking a piece of fruit or a vegetable out of your garden, you begin to lose some of the vital force.
What's the benefit?
Well, it just gives you more vital force, more prana.
Okay.
Because
okay, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, prana is the vital force that comes from the sun, and then it's captured by the earth, and then this pranic or vital force invigorates all the food that's grown, all the life on the planet. Mm-hmm. And we absorb this life force from things we eat as well as take in. If you're out in the sun, you get a certain amount from the sun. You get a certain amount just that's circulating in the air that you breathe. Yeah. Did you have another question?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
No,
okay. Go ahead. Go, please.
No. I've been thinking if these souls that actually lived in this body, if they leave this sign of that they were very close to the divinity, just to show people... that it is possible, because
that's the purpose of a lot of disciples' work, is just to show the possibilities. And matter of fact, that's why Jesus came here, to show the possibilities of what can be done. And he said that what he has done, we can do also. He didn't mean to come set an example that can't be copied. He came to show us what is possible for man to do.
You talk about on your website about if you die and you're stuck in that astral sphere, that you'll go to an astral heaven, let's call it, world. If you die in a mental state, in your mental body, you'll go to a mental heaven. Well, I'm looking at your list of the higher ones after that, and they look pretty dismal. I'm thinking, who would want to try to reach for anything higher than the mental state? Because when you get to the Buddhic state, apparently you're just in nothingness. I don't understand what it would be like in heaven if you die from a higher state than a mental state. Do you have any idea?
Our whole progression is about removing limitations. Now think of a slug, for instance. Do you think a slug would think it'd be any advantage to be a human? He would probably look at us and say, man, I just want to be a good slug. So when we talk about the higher worlds, some people think, well, man, I don't even want to go there. But first of all, the higher we go, the more limitations are removed. When we go to the astral world, a lot of regular limitations are removed. We can, you know, go to any part of the earth, or we can go to the libraries there in the astral world and see what really happened in our history, different things like this. But then when we go to the mental worlds, we encounter beings that are of a higher intelligence, much more stimulating to communicate and merge with and be with. And we are capable of removing more limitations so we can go more different places, see more things and accomplish more things, influence more things. And then when we go to the higher world still, these are basically energy worlds where you don't really need an actual form to occupy, but you can create a form whenever you want. And so you're not limited. If you want a form, you can have one and go interplay with form. Or if you're in one of the higher worlds, you can just merge with another entity and know all about him and create and work on creation. But no matter what world you're in, you're doing some type of creative activity. It's just that the higher worlds, there's greater power of creativity. Now what's interesting is even these seven worlds that we're talking about are not the end. We have these seven levels. These seven levels are all a part of what we call the cosmic physical, which is the first level of even a higher spheres. So all these seven levels are part of what is called the cosmic physical, and then there's the cosmic astral, the cosmic mental, and so on. So it keeps going, this keeps going higher and higher. And the highest entities that are on the earth now, we have the intellectuals are centered on the third, the mental. And a small handful of the teachers are on the fourth or the fifth. Hardly anybody's on sixth or seventh. But some of the Christ was up here in the sixth or seventh. Even he is not on the cosmic astral. Christ. The highest, the planetary logos, the Ancient of Days, the father of this earth, he's in the cosmic mental, is the highest that he can go. Even he is struggling to get up higher.
So and where would, like, it's what we call the ascended masters, and where are they, who you are referring to?
Yeah, who we call the masters of mastered the three worlds down here, and they're centered themselves up in the atmic and monadic worlds. Now Jesus, when he said, "I and my Father are one," he was expressing the fact that he was in this sixth world right here. He was in contact with his monad.
I've heard you say that the astral world is kind of, it's not normally there, it's just kind of made up. But how, if that's true, it also exists on the cosmic astral?
Yeah, the cosmic astral would be really real for us, but for the ones that are way up there, even that may be an illusion. But the astral is an illusion. It's created by the interplay of the physical and the mental has created the astral world. And so the astral world seems real, but it's a creation of the interplay of the lower and the higher of the worlds of form. And that interplay has created an illusionary world. That's why there's so much illusion in the emotional level. That's why almost every illusion can be traced back there to our feelings are somehow. The feeling world really leads us astray. When the Bible says in Proverbs that the heart is the most deceiving of all things, he was really speaking not of the pure heart energies, but of the emotional self. And people usually identify that with the heart. Yeah.
You say it's illusionary, but is the Akashic record astral, and is it matter? Not does it matter, is it matter?
Well, it's written on matter, yeah. But the Akashic records is, it's written on several different levels, the mental and also the higher astral. So, yeah.
Not just one.
Right, so it'll... They'll be
is
there.
The astral matter? You say it's illusion, but is it matter?
Yeah, it's matter, but it's matter created by an interplay. It's an interplay.
And does it still exist even after the interplay disappears?
Well, all matter is reduced to vibration. And when vibration stops, the form disappears. Just like if I go...
It's not eternal in nature. In other words, if the interplay disappears, then it disappears?
Yeah. But the mind and the body, as long as this universe exists, we're going to have the physical and the worlds of mind. Okay. And their interplay creates the astral. Okay? And so this is why there's so much illusion in the emotional body, because... everything is created by the illusion of vibration, by the mind of God. But the mind of humanity, which is a reflection of God, has actually created the astral world similar to the way that God created the other worlds.
What's the cosmic astral created by?
It's probably, if it follows things, it's created by interplay of the cosmic physical and the cosmic mental.
Well, so all seven of these, if you've mastered all of these, then you've mastered the cosmic physical.
Yeah, right.
And so then you move up another notch.
Start all over again.
And start all over again in the cosmic astral.
Yeah.
And then the cosmic mental, and you say that is where Sinat operates.
Well, actually, he's kind of touching the cosmic mental, but he's mostly centered in the cosmic astral. But he's kind of dabbling around in there. And the solar
he's been going millions and millions and millions of years.
Yeah.
Each one of these steps is like a long time.
Right, and he's a disciple of the solar logos. And the solar logos is solidly set in the cosmic mental. Yeah. And then above the solar logos, we have seven solar systems creating a higher entity. And then additional solar systems joining together to create an entity so high, the masters call this entity the one about whom naught can be said. Because... Oh, I see your aura, by the way. But the one about whom naught can be said, because his consciousness is so high that not even the masters can comprehend it. So that's what they've called him.